It's Tuesday and time to read from your comments. Monday of last week, we talked about what happens when children hear about the sins of notorious parents. Claire wrote in, "My three children, aged 2, 7, and 9, found out from the neighbor children that their dad was a child molester. I'd found out from a neighbor a few days earlier before my daughters told me what they had heard. I made my husband talk with his daughters and apologize to them. My husband and I, we were in the midst of a divorce already, for other reasons, then went together to get advice about how to deal with this. As it turns out, we did not get good advice, but I suppose it was the best available at the time. Although their dad was an upstanding person in the community and an authority figure, he eventually was charged and now is serving time in the penitentiary. He'll be getting out soon, and the grandchildren don't know about the crimes. My oldest child is definitely still trying, or trying not to, figure out that her father is a criminal. She's continued to pretend that he's normal. She's been resistant to counseling, which was given at the age of 9 and again at the age of 17. On Thursday, we discussed the evolving political turmoil in Mali. Kim in Berkeley wrote, "I think it's important to cover Mali, but in the USA, the only news we get from Africa is negative. It's about the coups, unrest, and the problems. Africa is so much more than that. As you'll find from many of your callers on Mali, they undoubtedly have had wonderful experiences visiting, and there are positive aspects to living and visiting Africa. I think there should be much more media coverage on the positive and the good changes that have happened in Africa in the last 5 to 10 years. Too few Americans know about what Africa's really like. When Americans think of Africa, they only think about unrest and poor government because that's all that's covered in USA News. The reality of the situation in most of Africa is that it's vibrant, economically healthy, and that Africa has a really great future. The next decade will be the boom of Africa as Asia wanes." Finally, last Wednesday, we spoke with sitar player Brian Q. Silver about the legacy of Ravi Shankar and his instrument, the sitar. Chris in Boise wrote, "I attended one session at the Ali Akbar Khan College of Music in San Rafael, California, as a tabla student. A friend of mine there, a sitar player, said the sitar is purely an instrument of torture, in reference to the painful Mizrab wire picks, and anyone who can play it well deserves the utmost respect. And yesterday, I said that automatic weapons are already banned in the United States, which prompted a lot of email. To clarify, fully automatic guns, weapons that fire multiple shots each time you pull the trigger, can no longer be legally manufactured in the U.S. Any made and registered with the federal government before 1986 can be owned or bought and sold legally after the buyer passes an FBI background check, pays a $200 tax, and meets several other conditions. If you have a correction, comment, or question for us, the best way to reach us is by email. Our address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. If you're on Twitter, you can follow us there, @TOTN. Talk of the Nation is produced by Laura Lee, Tinbeat Ermias, Sarah Ventry, Natalie Winston, and Priska Neely. Priska also handles our web content. Our editor is Kara Handel. Gwen Uden directs the program. Our intern is Ibrahim Balki. Nathan Bark is our technical director. He gets engineering help from Cal Southworth, Tom Marquito, and Neil Ellis. Our theme music was composed by Greg Smith. The senior producer is Scott Cameron. Sue Goodwin is our executive producer. Tomorrow, political junkie Ken Rudin returns. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.